Revelation chapter number 20 this morning. Preached last week on Satan, the final season. Today we'll be preaching on the Great White Throne judgment. There are two different judgments concerning individual people. There'll even be judgment of nations individually. But what we call the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema seat in the Greek word there, is a time where you will give an account as a saved person on how you serve the Lord. You're going to stand before Him there. But this is an account of all the unbelievers, all the lost, will be standing before the Lord at the great white throne judgment. And really today, people don't think anything really much is wrong. You can just make it relative in your own eyes, that it's justified in your own eyes. There's no accountability. There's not going to be a God to stand before. That's why many, especially young people today, they like to boast about them being atheist, which means no God. And then if you follow that line down through life, you're going to find out that God will turn people like that over at different times to reprobate mind, which there will be a godless mind where you couldn't even anymore allow God into your life. God does cut people off. And this day here will be a great judgment. And I want to look at that this morning. We'll read verses 11 through 15. John says, "And I saw," verse 11, "a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." This would be the wicked works that they had done in life. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." This book of life is the same as the Lamb's book of life. This is the book that God's going to... There'll be no doubt a lot of people arguing with God for a little bit. Trying to say, "This cannot be. I was a pastor. This cannot be. I was a deacon. This cannot be. I sang in church. This cannot be. I grew up in church. This cannot be." And they will look in the book, and your name will not be found. It will be over. This judgment is a finality. There'll be no lawyers there to get you out. There'll be no way to avoid this. So this is a very somber, serious message this morning. This is not about heaven. Hopefully, the Lord give me liberty to get into that area about heaven there. I'm praying about a certain message, but this is for us today. This is what I believe the Lord wants us to preach. I wasn't dare going to skip over it, because probably not too many pulpits across the land will address the judgment of us facing judgment. I don't like to address it. I'm saying I don't want to go to the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want to give an account for what I've done after I got saved. If you do, I think maybe you ought to think that thing over again as well. Because God knows every single thing we have ever done in our lives. Everything. So I want to look at 3 points in the outline form: the setting, the summons, and the sentence. In the setting of this, I want to contrast this throne with the one in chapter 4. You don't have to turn with me there, but I will read this. There was a throne image here, a setting of the throne, when John first got there and he first started seeing things in the Revelation. He said in chapter 4, verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither." Amen. So the symbolism here of us being raptured up into heaven. And he said, "I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. And one sat on the throne. And he that sat upon the was to look upon like a jasper, a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne." Not just half of a rainbow, but an entire bow wrapped around the throne. And the Bible said it was in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders, which most Bible scholars believe this represents the church. The church is there. And clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps fire burning before the throne, which are 7 spirits of God. That's a different setting of the throne. Here at this great white throne of judgment, there is no rainbow. There's no emerald. There's no promise. This is not a sign of mercy and compassion and forgiveness. There is no grace dispensed at this throne. We despise grace. We throw it to the side. We make light of it. Even when we sing about it, many times we don't really realize what we have in the thought of grace, God's grace upon us. But there will not be 1 ounce of grace dispensed. This will be a place where there is no thundering and lightning and no crystal sea, no voices of praise, no singing. It'll only be judgment and justice. And the Bible says this in John 5:22. For the Father judgeth no man. God the Father won't judge you on this day.
That's right.
The Bible says, but he hath committed all judgment unto his Son. And who better to justly judge you than the one who died for every sin you committed and gave you a way for that sin to be forgiven through his blood, and you rejected it, and you will stand before the very one who could have saved you. This is going to be a very somber setting, a very scary time to be around. I don't know where the believers will be, whether we'll be somewhere watching from afar or if we'll even be around. I don't know exactly how that'll go down. But the Bible goes on to describe this place, as it says in this throne, that whose face the earth and heaven fled away. You don't want to be there. You don't want to be around it. They're not going to enjoy this. You know, there's some people, and you know some people like this, they think they're going to go to hell and drink Jack Daniels and party with all their friends down in hell. But the Bible says God's going to take that place of hell, and he's going to bring everybody out of hell. Everyone's going to be there, and not one person's going to get away. And there's no side doors, no windows. There's no way to exit. You will stand in line no matter how excruciating that one person in front of you is going through, no matter how much is brought out to embarrass them and judge them of everything they've ever done, and every time they ever rejected God, you'll have to take your place next in line. Nobody's going to be able to get away with it.
That's right.
It's going to be a terrible place to be around the setting of this throne. Then I want to look at the summons, as I'll call this. The Bible said in verse 12, he said, I saw the dead, small and great. It's detailed here. It may be kind of redundant to some people, but you know, when it comes to final justice, this is the final justice of all the world.
Right.
A lot of, you know, there are 250,000 unsolved murder cases in the United States. That's a lot of people. Nobody knows how they died. Now, the people who killed them may not even be alive anymore. They knew that they did, but they thought they got away with it. God is not going to let anybody get away with anything on that day. All justice will be served at this judgment. This will be a holy, pure time where God will bring everyone. He even says the dead, small and great. You know, there's some great people in this world who are worth billions of dollars. Who, not all people that are rich are stuck up or are condescending, looking down on other people. But a lot of people, when they get really, really, really wealthy, you understand a billion is 1,000 million. I mean, you know, I'm not quite there yet, and I hope it doesn't ruin me when I do arrive. But most people that have that much money don't even understand how much money they have.
Right.
And there are people in our world, in the United States and other countries, that are worth billions of dollars net worth when you start just looking at their properties and things and their value. And some of those people believe they can buy anything they want. They can buy any woman or any man they want, any drugs, anything. They're above all the law. They can break the law, pay off the law, observers. They can get away with anything. And every one of those great people,
right,
will stand before God Almighty, and there will be His Son on that throne. The one they blasphemed or made light of, or the one that grandma brought them to church when they were little and they walked away from that lie, God will take them back to that moment. Some of you here today, you may die and go to hell, but you will be brought to those moments just like this one, when this white-headed preacher, whatever I'm at anymore, is spitting and hollering and preaching to you, warning you of a day you will stand before God.
That's right. That's good preaching.
And you won't be able to hide it. And you can't say, that didn't happen. What if we know got video technology today? Can you imagine what God has?
Yeah, that's right.
You say, well, I deleted that. I erased that. Oh, that didn't happen. I blocked that out of my mind. I never did that. Or I forgot about how, and I forgot about a lot of the things I've done, but there's some I remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember every one. God will recall. There will be a recollection of every single thing that a lost person has done on this day. And every small and great, the smallest, no one even knew who they were. They could have slept under a bridge. They could have been hardly on the radar their whole entire life. But if they did not get saved and trust God, they'll stand here at that judgment. You understand that this judgment as well, God teaches us that it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah, which was where sodomy comes from, than Capernaum in the day of judgment. Those who had heard the gospel and had more light given to them to show them the way of salvation will have a harder judgment than those who didn't.
Right. Right.
Now, I don't know how all that is going to work out, and I'm glad it's not in my hands to handle that, but I promise you God is just on how He'll do that.
Amen.
However more tolerable He will allow it, I don't know what that involves, whether or not it won't be as hot or whatever, or they'll not be gnashing their teeth on them. I don't know what that involves, but a lot of people have had a lot of light given to them.
Yeah.
Heard the gospel many times.
Yes.
Grew up in a Christian home and hated every second of it. Rebelled against it. And as soon as you can get 17 or 18, you shake off the shackles of religion and you go on your way. You will stand before God on that day. Small and great. Everyone from Cain, the first murderer. Everyone all the way to the very last human that joined in this rebellion with Satan that we preached about after the 1,000 years. Everyone will stand before God. Little old lady who, listen, I'm not trying to be rude here, but I'm going to tell you, I know I've been in this long enough to know there's some people who are very religious, but they're lost.
Yes, that's right.
They are trusting in their own goodness, their own good works. The fact that they don't lie or steal or cheat, that they're better than everybody else, and surely a holy, righteous God would not send them to hell, they'll be standing in line too.
Yeah.
Now, they might not have to give an account for some of the things that some people will, but they will still stand before God when the Lord tells us and teaches us that they have what the Bible calls here, John 3:18, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Those will stand before God as well. Obviously, there won't be a whole lot of stuff to iron out. It'll be a simple rejection of the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. And that's why people go to hell, because they rejected God. They don't trust in Him as their Savior. And all the world, everyone will be summoned to this. Hitler will be there. I promise you, if Hitler didn't get saved at the last seconds of his life, he will stand before God and give an account for every one of those 6 million plus Jews that he had a hand in. That's right, amen. Everybody will give an account. Won't nobody be defying the Lord Jesus on that day? If you think an angel could take a chain and chain the devil and put him in a bottomless pit, amen?
Yeah.
Don't you think he can handle the people who might be trying to defy God at this judgment?
Yes.
I don't know how the atmosphere of the setting, but I believe there'll be a few angels around that there ain't going to be too many people going to think about messing with them.
Right.
This will be justice and judgment, purely and righteously. All the obscure, the famous, the infamous, young, If you're young enough, old enough to have an age of accountability to understand the gospel and who Jesus is and understand the right and wrong in your life, there'll be some young people standing before God in this judgment because God dealt with their heart, maybe in a service just like this one, and they said no. And then they end up dying maybe at a young age or something happened in life. God's going to call everyone, those who've been cremated, those who were obliterated in fires and bombs and explosions, those whose bodies dissolved in the sea, God's going to resurrect every one of them to face judgment.
That's right.
Yeah, there are people in the bottom of the ocean that no one ever even knows where they are, but God knows every one of them. If His eyes on the sparrow, I promise you His eyes is all other places too. The sea gave up the dead. Those thought to be lost forever, God knows exactly where to find them. And they'll all be summoned to face their sentence on this day. And the sentence is the second death. An eternal death. Never-ending death and punishment in the lake of fire, the Bible says. So we look at this sentence. Interesting thing to bring out here. In verse 12, he said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books. See, it's plural.
Yeah.
Books. There are books recorded of all our work. And those books will no doubt be used for the believer at the judgment seat of Christ. But the books also will be used here in record against us, those who are lost, for everything they've done according to their works. Can you imagine giving what we'll call here an accountability? This is the accountability that ends all accountabilities of all time.
Yes, right.
I got in trouble before I was coming up as a young guy. I was not a very bright kid. I blamed stuff on a dog we didn't even have. Brother I didn't even have. And if I'd break something or do something, and I was like Dennis the Menace, maybe, and Chucky kind of combined. I don't know. I was pretty crazy. I don't know how my mom got me together. Thank the Lord. She got saved and got me in church. But, you know, I got some stuff that I would lie to get out of stuff. And some of you like that, and not just the kids, but you lie to cover up to get out of trouble because you don't want to face the trouble. Every single lie that has ever been spoken, man will give an account for on this day. And not only that, but everything that lie caused, you will give a reckoning for on this day. The influence of all their lives. And I think this is a great emphasis, a point, that God gives this judgment at the end of time, at the very end. Because after you die, the sins you've committed and how they influenced and caused problems in your family tree and on down to others you influenced. Could have been you got on drugs and got them on drugs and you're dead and gone. And they stay on drugs their whole life and then they get somebody else on drugs and on and on. You, even after you die, your sins continue to seem to generate suffering and sorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
And God's going to bring a judgment after it's all over. And bring people up to hold accountable, be a judge according to all their works, even those after they had died. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew 22:13 gives us an image of judgment where they said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him to the darkness, to outer darkness. They shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a time frame you don't want to. I'm warning us now. For those who may not be saved, some of you kids that are growing up in the household, a godly household, and you haven't truly made a profession of faith to be saved. Some of you adults that might be here, listen, what a travesty. Break my heart that you'd come through the doors of this church while I try to preach the gospel and you would reject it and die and go to hell. But that is a true probability.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's right.
Everybody's going to be accountable. I'm going to be an account on whether or not I preach the whole counsel of the Word of God or not. So I'm not accountable to you in that realm. I'm held accountable by people to a certain degree, but the greatest judgment of all is to be how I preached and warned the souls of salvation and judgment to come. And everyone's going to be held accountable on this day. Everyone's going to be brought into this light around this throne. The Bible tells us, every action, every one of those who... can you imagine? I don't even know how to comprehend, put my brain around this, but someone dies and then it's no time at all, they're standing at the throne.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't even go to hell maybe very long. Maybe it was just a not much time interval between when God destroyed those nations there and with Satan's rebellion, the battle of Gog and Magog mentioned in verse number 9. And right before the throne you are. And all that while, you didn't believe there was a God. There was no throne to stand before. You mocked a message like this today, but yet there you are.
Yes.
Being held accountable for every action, even though you were apathetic and disbelieving or atheist in your beliefs. Some people are agnostic. They believe that you can't know that there's a God. Well, you have a Bible, or maybe you don't have one, but there's Bibles in this building.
Yep.
That helps you to know that there is a God in existence. This will be a time when all that stuff is revealed. And I can imagine a person would probably normally be glad it's over. Except for the judgment of the sentence comes, which is the lake of fire. So it won't get better. It won't be life in prison. It'll be life in pain and suffering and judgment. God's going to finally, a lot of things he allowed by his grace to go on. Finally, the wrath of God will be poured out upon this world. And then all will be held accountable for everything that they've done. All that they rejected. And they will have to do what Philippians 2:9 says.
Yes.
They're going to have to bow before him. Yes. When they may have mocked and scoffed it before, they're going to have to bow before him now. Did I not cut this on, Brother Bob? I guess I didn't. Cut it on in the last 2 seconds. Amen. Past 2 minutes. My brain was locked in here. I apologize for that. Everybody's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. There are those whose their whole existence today is to mock Christianity, to defame the character of Christians, to attack the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They study, try to study history and all kinds of things, biology, try to disprove the Bible. To get you to believe that, or doubt in your mind, this may not really be true or not, or there's no way, preacher, you just can't know that. Well, the Bible teaches us plainly many places that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He teaches us how to be saved, that we must be born again. And people push those things to the side. Some embrace, they want to work their way into heaven. Or some just say, I can't see it. There's nobody ever come back from the afterlife and told me about it or whatever. And they just prove the resurrection. All these things in proofs, infallible proofs that God has given. And they throw them to the side. One day they're going to bow before him and they're going to confess it out their mouth. It is true. You are Lord. But it won't fix it. It's too late then. The Bible teaches us today is the day of salvation. I'm trying to encourage you to act upon if God's convinced. I can't convict you. But I promise you this. That's the most powerful thing I've ever experienced with Holy Ghost conviction upon my life. I mean, it just churned my inside. It began to affect me physically. And I realized that that scripture is talking about me going into hell, going into the lake of fire. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to trust him as my Savior. And as soon as I got back to church that next time, man, I thought I was going to get saved. I grabbed a hold of the seat in front of me and I wiggled and resisted. And I drove back home that night from that tent revival. I said, man, I got out of there again, but the Holy Ghost, the high sheriff of heaven, followed me home. To 116 Oak Court in Piedmont, South Carolina, right there where I live. Got in that bedroom, and I realized, God, I've taught Sunday school, I've been faithful to church, but as a 19-year-old young man, I know that I am lost, and I want to be saved. And I turned to Romans 10, 9, 10, 13, and God led me to himself in the scriptures. And I got born again that night, and now I know in whom I have believed. Now I know if I die, I'd go to heaven. And that's a peace this world doesn't have. That's a peace this world does not know. And the Bible teaches me that I'm not on the bad end of John 3:18. I'm on the good end. He that believeth on him is not condemned. I belong in that line, Brother Jim. And before you become holier than thou and angelic and act like you're without sin,
Be careful.
Yes, sir.
I got a lot of things that this world does not know about. But God does. But it is washed away in the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I won't have to stand in that line saying, oh no, he knows. Oh no, it's going to be brought out. No, it's covered by the blood. It's forgiven and gone and washed away. I can't tell you what it's like to be on that good end of John 3:18 where I am one of those who believe it and I am not condemned. But there are going to be many that stand before that throne condemned. All that stand before that throne that day were going to be condemned. And the saddest statement of all is because they believed not. They did not believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. When you think about this throne and what it symbolizes, a time of absolute justice. I got to thinking about this. Every unsolved crime of any kind, and no doubt in this world, there are probably millions and millions of them. You know, people, I know some of y'all may watch some of those TV shows, the Unsolved Mysteries and Murders and stuff. Don't act like some of y'all don't watch some of those. Okay, I know. And it's like people got everything planned out. They know how to put the right medicine that's not traceable, or they hire somebody who they think is going to get away with the murder, and no one will catch them. And boy, oh boy, many of them just get caught anyway. But you know, there's a lot of people who never got caught. There are people who have raped little kids and thrown them into the woods and the ravines and the streams or through their body in a lake somewhere, and nobody on this earth ever caught them, but they will be caught that day.
That's right.
It will be absolute justice. Every crime ever committed will be solved on that day, I promise you. Can you imagine people like, oh, I can't believe that. He was that murderer. He's that serial killer. Oh, that's how that happened. Everything will be revealed. He said, it's going to be a long day. Oh, it won't be days. As far as time concerned, it won't even matter before
that's
God.
Right.
But if we were to actually count it, I'm sure it would take a lot longer than that because there'll be millions and millions and millions and millions and probably billions of people that will be standing before this judgment. This complete, absolute justice will be given out, an absolute judgment. Everybody that never could find it,
right,
couldn't find the body, no proof. God knows where every one of them is.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
They'll all be called up in the resurrection.
That's right.
I don't know what it will be out like on this side for a saved person who was killed and thrown and discarded and hidden and the world never knew. And on that day, God reveals the truth. And their murderer will stand before God when they evaded the law and the court systems all those years. And they will be judged and cast in the lake of fire. That'll be a sad day, but there'll be a day where those who will be avenged when they were forgotten and justice was never served on this earth. That might be a lot of the reasons why there's going to be a lot of tears in heaven that he'll be wiping away. Everyone who got away with anything, everyone who covered up everything and conspired to deceive, every religious plot, every political plot, every immoral plot and plan, everybody's going to be summoned that day and sentenced that day. And the Bible tells us here, hey, look in these books, which the books have all the works in them. I can't even imagine and comprehend what that's like. I know we have digital age and we've got things on computer and things are consolidated, but this is the image John saw with the scrolls and the books he called them the scrolls. There's an image there when things are scrolled out. I don't know how God's going to recall all these things, but he has a record of them and they're in the books. And then after all that, then we'll see the book. He says there's another book that was opened, which is the book of life. And the Bible says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And then the Bible says, verse 13, the sea gave up the dead which were in it, the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second judgment. And verse 15, whosoever was not found. That means they looked. That means there was a search. God's going to prove it. Because I'm sure there are going to be a lot of people who have rejected God, or you've been trusting, maybe you trusted in the money you give to church, the fact that your family was a part of this church or something. But there's a lot of people trusting a lot of things other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And on this day, there's not going to be anybody but unbelievers there who rejected or trusted in themselves or self-righteousness. Every one of those are going to be there. And they'll be looking through that book. Can you imagine looking from... I thought about this the other day when I was preparing to get ready for this message. I thought about going around in here and naming every one of you, and leaving out somebody on purpose to make you understand what it would be like for your name not to be called. I had gone through my mind as I'm going to name everybody, which I don't know necessarily everybody, and so that didn't want to get into a mess and make you hurt or, you know... You know, and I do forget. I'd probably start halfway here and forget what I was even doing. I'm telling, what are we doing over here? But I wanted the idea of you to hear names Robert and Kristen and go all the way through the church, and I'd leave out somebody's name. I said, did I miss anybody? And you'd raise your hand and say, preacher, you didn't call my name. Can you imagine that feeling on that day when all complete judgment is gone? Everyone before you and around you and behind you, you know without any doubt, we're absolutely judged justly by a holy, righteous God, and you don't hear your name called out. It's not found. Nope, we didn't find it. And you know it's over. It's a finality. And you are judged by God, and you're going to be cast in the lake of fire. He said, preacher, I don't really believe that. I believe it's an analogy. I believe it's something figurative. Well, you better be right. You're gambling with your soul.
Yes, sir.
And you're gambling with a very plain passage of Scripture that I know, but God has anointed many preachers to preach it. Yeah. And people heeded the Word of God and came down to an altar and gave their soul to the Lord Jesus Christ because they did not want to go to the lake of fire. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be saved from that wrath. I want to be saved from my sins. But on this day, this is a day about not wanting to be there at judgment. Sister Virginia, I want you to come play something for us. On this day, you may cry out, I need a pardon. Somebody pardon me. All the pardons are already given out. They were already provided through the Lord Jesus Christ. While you're living right now is your age, your opportunity for a pardon through the Lord Jesus Christ. Free and clear and no longer guilty, but you're justified through Him, through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That understanding that God sent His only begotten Son for you, all of us, to shed His blood, to die on that cross, that we might be saved, we could have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That time of pardon is right now if you're interested in pardon. And nobody could cry out and say, I want a fair trial. I just believe this was corrupt. I don't think one person will ever dare squeak that out of their mouth.
Yeah, you're right.
Because this will be evident that this is the final judgment. This is a place of this great white throne where absolute justice, complete accountability will be given. I for one will tell you, I'm glad I'm not going to be there. I know I'm going to heaven, and ain't much to brag about. I got a lot of mistakes in my life. I had a lot of failures. Even after I got saved, I failed the Lord many times, but He's never failed me. But I won't have to stand up there and be alone without anything. When I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to have an advocate with an advocate with my Father, who is Lord Jesus Christ. He's my lawyer. And He'll come and say, I'm speaking on His behalf. I gave my life on His behalf. I've covered His sins on His behalf. It's all taken care of. He's pardoned and free to go. And if you're not saved this morning, you'll stand before this throne without any legal counsel, without any legal hope. It's going to be a pure place of judgment and justice before the Lord Jesus Christ. So I ask you, every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't think anybody in here in their right mind at all would ever think, boy, I want to go to that throne and face God and be cast into the lake of fire. But people procrastinate. They put it off. They hear a message like this today, and the devil begins to whisper, Not now. Not now. Wait. Next Sunday, maybe. How about next Sunday? Do you know how many people die between one Sunday to the next? We're not promised tomorrow. Today's the day of salvation. I wish somehow I could beg you, beseech you, implore you, shake you up, somehow get a hold of you. But that's the Holy Spirit's job. And if God is dealing with you at all, would you please come to this altar and let somebody show you out of the Scriptures how to believe, trust on Him as your Savior. Anybody who's a preacher, pray for me. I'm not saved. I know I'm not ready. I know I'd stand before that judgment. I'm not ready. Would you pray for me, anybody? I mean, just be real. Don't worry about the person next to you. Just do business with God this morning and just raise your hands and preacher, I don't want to stand before that judgment. I don't want to go to the lake of fire. Would you pray for me, anybody? Well, we're living in a hard day, Brother Lucas. Boy, you can't. I'm not trying to convince a saved person to be lost. I'm just going to tell you, oh, we need God to get a hold of our heart. Open up our understanding. Say, preacher, I know that I'm saved, but I haven't been living like I should. And I know I'm going to give an account for that these days, these months, these years I've wasted, and I need to get serious by living for God. Would you pray for me that I get that thing right today? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I want to make sure I'm ready, and I know I'm living with the Lord with all my heart, all my soul, many hands up. When I stand before Him at that judgment, I want to know I'm found in Him. I want my heart to be right. Church, you can put your hand down. Another thing, church, how about this? How about those in your family that you know are not ready? That if it happened today, they'd be there and you wouldn't, and there wouldn't be nothing you could do about it. It'd be too late. How about asking God to touch our heart, soften our heart, that we might intercede for them, pray for them. Say, oh God, please don't let it be that way. Don't let them reject you. Lord, don't let this go on. Please save them. Please change them. Please open their heart and their mind. Lord, please help me to reach them or somebody else to reach them so they won't stand before you that day. How many of you have raised your hands and preacher, I'm going to start praying for my family. I don't want to see them at this throne. Many hands up. I hope you do. I hope we all do. We all need to give accountability to that. If you're here today and you didn't raise your hand that you were lost, but you know that you are, and you want to talk to someone after the service, if you want to call me later, if this message follows you home, and if you're lost, I pray that it does. You don't have to stand at that place of great white throne judgment. Be there alone before God and be judged for everything you've done. But you can find out that God laid on the Lord Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. And if you'll trust in Him as the payment for your sin, you won't have to stand there at that great white throne judgment. All the sin will have already been paid for by the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. Please don't put it off. Please don't take it lightly. It's a real event. It's an amazing event in the book of Revelation, but it may be more of an awestruck event than anything. It's not a day we rejoice over. It's going to be a great day of sadness like never before. Father, we pray that you help us, God, as we dismiss this service. That you'd deal with the hearts and the souls that are here. Lord, that you'd challenge us, Lord, to pray and intercede and be a light, be a witness. Lord, let us be searching our own hearts. We know that we'd be prepared, that we're ready. We know that we're saved. Lord, for the things we've done in our bodies, Lord, our service to you, God, that we would help us understand we're going to give an account for that at that judgment seat of Christ. But God, for the lost, Lord, they'll stand before you at that great white throne judgment. Absolute judgment and justice and accountability. I pray, God, that you'd help us to see that. Lord, we ask you, Lord, as we change gears here just a little bit and be opening the doors of the church, that you'd help these that are coming forth to join. Lord, that you'd bless them, help them, Lord, as they serve together with us here. God, Lord, again, if there's anybody that's not saved, Lord, I pray that you would please deal with their heart. In Jesus' name we pray.